Open your Bible to Matthew 21. I want to read from verse 28 today. This is a part of the gospel where Jesus was talking to scribes and Pharisees, which were very religious people of his day. Thought they were good people. They thought they were good people. Jesus did not think they were good people. It's a real warning for us. We can think we're good, but fall short of God's standards of good. Come to church every Sunday and think you're good and fall short of what God considers good. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors, harlots, enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." There's Jesus trying to get across an important truth to us about who truly becomes acceptable in the sight of God. And he's all of Jesus' parables were designed to teach us and teach the people who heard him in simple ways. That's a sign of a good teacher, and a good preacher, to bring eternal truths in the ways that people understand. Jesus did that by telling stories. And this time he's trying to get a truth across, and he tells a story to the Pharisees. And he tells these stories, this story to teach a truth about these two sons. And the first son, these two sons represent two classes of people. Two classes of people that Jesus dealt with the whole time he walked heaven and earth, and probably the same two classes of people that are here today. Hopefully there's more than two classes here today, but there would certainly be at least two classes here today. And Jesus told this parable, and he spoke about two sons who were told to go to work. Now, it says, a man had two sons, and then he came to the first and said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." The vineyard, let me say, is the kingdom of God. The vineyard and the sons are just children. We're all children of the Father. So this parable is about God speaking to two types of people, saying, "Go work in the vineyard." And as the instruction says, that it comes to the two sons, "Go work in the vineyard." The first son, I love his answer. It's unambiguous. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." The today is important. "Son, work today in my vineyard," the father says. The first son says, "I will not." No bones about it. He says, "I will not." No, I will not do it. And the reason he won't do it is because this son doesn't want to work in the father's vineyard. This son wants to do what he wants to do. This son doesn't want to yield and obey what the father's telling him. This son wants to be captain of his own ship. He wants to run his own race. He wants to be his own man. He wants to live a life of self. And he says, I myself will run my own life. I myself will do what I want to do. I myself will rule and reign over me. Nobody else. And so he represents somebody who's wants to build his own kingdom, enjoy his own life, do what he wants to do, be independent, even insolent, disobedient, but wants to do what he wants to do. He's not somebody, this person, the first son, does not fear God, has no fear of God, has no regard for the things of God, but the good thing is he doesn't pretend to. He may be hypocritical in other areas of his life, but when it comes to the things of God, he is not hypocritical. He's straight out, I will not. No, it's not for me. So it represents someone who maybe the vineyard, as I said, it's the kingdom of God. And it's the command, go today, work in the vineyard, is really saying, go today and serve God with your life. And people say, no, no way, I will not. I suppose the majority of people on earth today, when they hear that command, that's their response. I will not. They flat out reject God, but at least they're not hypocrites. They're just deciding to walk their own way. That's what this fellow is about. He's an independent fellow. But there's a word here, it says, he answered, I will not, but afterward. After what? With many people, afterwards, they have this initial response to, I will not. I will not serve God with my life. I will serve myself. I will be self-focused, self-driven, self-centered. My life will be about me, and I will not hear from God. And it says, afterward, that speaks about the people that were tax collectors and prostitutes in Jesus' day. They heard the preaching of John the Baptist. And they were like this fellow. But after a season, they relented and repented. And some people, they take a position where they say, like this man, I will not. But afterwards, he relented and regretted it, and he went. Because people that make that choice offer to say, I will not, no, I will not, there's no way I'm going to serve God. What happens after a way? They hear messages like this one today, maybe, or they hear a message from a Christian, another Christian. And God keeps that message working over. The Word of God, it's alive and living. It never finishes till it accomplishes what it's... And this message keeps going around in their heads, like John the Baptist's message, the message that came to the tax collectors and the Pharisees and the prostitutes. It was a good message that God wanted to change your life. God loved you. God had sent Jesus for God's kingdom was coming through Jesus, was the message of John the Baptist. And they hear this message, and that message of God's love, of God's kingdom, it just won't get out of their head. And they also start to realize afterward he changed his mind. Afterward, because they realize that the life of self, of living for self after a period, afterwards, they realize that the most miserable way to live as a human being is to be someone who just thinks about yourself all the time. You do not want to serve other people. That is, I want to tell you, it is a recipe for misery. And so this person who's decided to reject the things of God, the Word of God starts to bother them. And then they start to realize the self-life doesn't make you happy, it actually leaves you empty. And then they start to also experience often the negative results of sin. Living without God. There's negative results. That's the way that God's constructed the world. If you do wrong to others, people call it karma. in other religions, but you just reap what you sow. They start to experience the negative results of sin often. And they begin to change. And then often they see that God's people, Christians, are truly happy. That God's people who are working and serving God, they're happy people. And they realize that true happiness does not come by being captain of your own soul, does not come by doing whatever you want to do, does not come by living a life focused on self and self alone. But true happiness comes when we're actually reconnected with the God who made us, who formed us, who shaped us, who knows everything about us, and gave his own son Jesus to die for our sin and pay the price for us. By getting connected with him and serving him with our life joyfully, that's the path to true happiness. And so this fellow, he after a while, he has this change. He has this change where he goes from, I will not, to I'm going. He goes the change of I will not to I will not serve God to now I'm going to serve God. I've decided to serve God. And what it is a radical change in direction. It is a I will not. And then he keeps walking. God starts to work. God starts to call him. God starts to speak to him. God starts to show him things about other people's lives. God starts to show him how miserable sin makes you. God starts to show him how miserable living for self makes you. And he starts to see that and realize that there is a God. God loves him. He's got a good life for him. And serving God with your life is good. And he goes, I'm turning completely around and I'm going in that direction. From this day forward, I'm going to serve God with my life. I've decided to serve God. I'm not going to live for self anymore. It is a radical change in direction. A radical change in direction. But the second fella, who we've got to be aware of in this passage, he is what I call, and I've met people, they're spiritual big talkers. The word comes, go work today in my vineyard. The second guy says, I go. Yes, I do. I serve God. I serve God. I'm one of God's people. I go. I serve God. I work in the vineyard. But he doesn't go. He represents somebody who is a talker. They talk the talk, but they promise the promise, but there is no action. And the result is always no love comes from their life. No fruit comes from their life. But a lot of words. They make confessions with their mouth, but they do not do what they confess. There is a great contradiction between the words they possess and the work that flows from their life. There's a contradiction. And it's a dangerous state. It is a most dangerous state to be in, particularly if you're someone who's grown up in the church. Jesus called this state, he called it the state of the hypocrite. And what is so sobering is that Jesus did not, even Jesus himself, he did not have a great strike rate of having hypocrites converted. Very few changed. Because a religious hypocrite is somebody, why do they say and not do? A religious hypocrite were the Pharisees. They're called the Pharisees in the scripture, the scribes. They're people who, they're Jews, so they believe they were part of God's family. But their mistake was that they constructed their own ideas, their own traditions of righteousness, or what was acceptable and good to God. So subtly they made constructions in their own mind, and they believed by keeping to their own constructions, their own standards, which were not God's standards, but keeping to their own standards of what is good and acceptable, their own standards of what good is acceptable, that they believed that made them good. That they believed they were good people. They believed they were God's people. And Jesus came and said, "You ain't." You know, you could be a church attender, you could be pious as pious. You could say, "I do this and I do that, and I'm on the Sunday school roster." But you could have unforgiveness in your heart and bitterness. You could refuse to love your enemies, all these things that Jesus told you. And you could justify in yourself, it doesn't matter, all that stuff. I serve in the Sunday school. I've constructed in my mind that I serve God in this area. I do this form of thing, and that is going to make me right before God. Whenever you do that, what you end up with always, you always end up, if you're doing something which is a human construct that you've made, it's your standard, not God's standard, it always ends up in a work of the flesh rather than fruit of the Spirit. Always works up in a dead work. I want to tell you, I've seen people. They said, "Well, I'm going to do this form of ministry. I'm going to do that form of ministry." And I know they got unforgiveness in their heart. I want to tell you, all that ministry, whatever you do, if you get unforgiveness in your heart for somebody, you know it's there and you're still serving God, it's all pointless. It's all unacceptable to God. See, what happens with the Pharisees, they believed that it was knowledge and intention that mattered to God. That you could have... There's a lot of people. We have the knowledge of the Word of God. We intend to do the Word of God, but we don't do it. But we don't do it. That's where they are at. They have the knowledge. I know people that they have the knowledge that the Word of God says, be generous. They have the intention to be generous. But they never become generous. Because they don't do the Word of God, they just have it. They believe that it's enough to have an intellectual understanding and to have come into agreement with it. Yes, I agree with the Word of God. That's what God wants. No, He doesn't. He wants us to be doers of the Word of God. Let me read to you what James says can happen to a person. He says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." See, that's what the Pharisees were about. And Jesus said something very, very sobering when it comes to people, the Pharisees' position. He said, "Many people will say to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Many people will say in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." See, what the Pharisees did, they knew everything. They knew they knew the law of God. They knew the word of God. They knew everything, but they didn't do what the word of God demanded. If you go to Matthew 23, Jesus speaks to them. He calls them, "Woe to you hypocrites." And there's about a million woes in that passage. But he's speaking to the hypocrites. He says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither enter in yourself, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And he goes, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees." And Jesus speaking to religious people who were deceived about their own true state of their hearts. He says, "You make a long pretense of your prayers, but you'll receive greater condemnation. Then he goes on to say, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe, the mint, the cumin, the anise, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You tithe, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law, which is to do with justice, mercy, being a person of mercy, mercy, and faith. We can come into church every Sunday, and we can be people who have it like Jonah, having received mercy. Jonah received mercy. He was spewed out of the whale. That was mercy. God made the whale spew him out. He received mercy. When he went to Nineveh, he didn't do mercy. He said, God, judge these people and destroy them. So we can be people like that, like Jonah, who are, you know, we do everything, but we fail to be merciful to people. Mercy's justice is giving someone what they deserve. Mercy's treating someone that they giving them what they don't deserve. It's a step beyond justice. It's being compassionate, kind, non-judgmental, but extending the hand. It comes from a heart of someone who knows they deserve judgment from God, but they receive mercy. The Pharisees, they desire judgment. They were not merciful. He says, you neglect the areas of mercy and faith. So, you know, the Pharisee, he constructed his own form of righteousness. He believed that he only had to understand the Word of God, have an intention to do it, have head knowledge of the Word of God, but he never did it. You know what was lacking most of all in the life of a Pharisee? What a Pharisee, why they're in the condition that they are. A Pharisee believes he's acceptable to God because of the works he does. A Pharisee believes that he's what he's doing, whatever religious acts he's doing, God is pleased with them. He's made them up, but they please God. A Pharisee doesn't actually do what the Word of God tells. He just picks bits that suit him, but he ignores the things like give, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. We can be like that in the church. We've got to be very, very careful we don't become pious and think that we are God's people, that I've decided to attend 5 prayer meetings a week and that pleases God. But I got bitterness in my heart for my brother. But my prayer meeting attendance, I'm right with God. You know what has never happened to the Pharisee? And at the end of the day, the Pharisee before God is lost. And this passage teaches us that the prostitute, the tax collector, who started out by saying to God, no, no way, he ends up in a better place. He ends up right with God. And the Pharisee is absolutely rejected by God. You've got to understand this. You know why it is? You know what has never, ever happened to the Pharisee? What he's missing is 2 things. The Pharisee, the tax collector, why he's acceptable to God. Why the prostitute becomes acceptable to God. Pharisee's never done any of the things that the tax collector. Tax collector ripped off everybody. He's like a contemporary drug dealer. That's the social status that a tax collector had in the days of Jesus. A prostitute was a prostitute. The Pharisees never did anything as morally unacceptable as the tax collector or the prostitute. But the Pharisee ends up being rejected by God, and the prostitute and the tax collector end up being accepted by God. Why? What's the difference? I tell you the difference. Pharisee thinks, I can serve God. I've decided to serve God. I'm doing this. I'm doing it my way. God loves me. I'm God's chosen person. It's all going to be good. The tax collector, the prostitute, initially they said, no way to God. But there came a time in their life. The command came, today, go work in my vineyard. The tax collector and the prostitute had a radical encounter with God. They had what we call a total turn in direction. It is a total change in direction that I have been serving. I've been serving myself with my life. I've been serving myself with my life. Today, this life, my life is not mine. I am going to take this life. I am going to now start to serve God with my life. And they didn't have a list of things that they'd made up that would please God. They just said, I've turned. I'm now going to serve God with my life. And the only thing there is that I've got to do is obey Him. Full on obedience to Him. That's the person who is justified by God. And the wonderful thing is, you know, you cannot come into the kingdom of heaven apart from having done that. You cannot come and become a child of God unless you have actually come to the place where you say, I'm serving God with my, this day, no longer will I serve myself with my life. This day, I'm serving God with my life. And there's no constraints, there's no what ifs, there's no but. The only thing I've decided to do is obey Him. No exceptions, no ifs, no buts. I've yielded all. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus, the first thing Jesus said, He said, I came and I brought my realm with me. His realm is called the kingdom of heaven, as it is in heaven. There's perfect peace, there's perfect healing, there's perfect health, there's perfect joy in heaven. And He brought that realm with Him here in the Holy Spirit. And the first message He ever preached was, repent, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven, as it is in heaven, perfect peace, healing, joy, provision, it's right here, it's at hand. But you can't have it apart from repentance. Unless you've said, I will no longer serve myself with my life, but I'm turning around today, I'm going to serve God. You'll never have peace. You'll never have joy. You'll never have healing. You'll never have God's provision. But if you do it, you'll have the whole lot. Repent. I want to say that. I want to ask you today. I want to ask you today, have you ever really made that decision? I'm not going to go any further. We're just to bow our heads right now. We're just to bow our heads. We're just to bow our heads. The Holy Spirit wants to speak with people today. There are people here that you've just believed. You've been walking the one direction your whole life. You believe that it's enough to be good, to do some things for God. But you've never made that choice where you've actually turned around and said to God, I'm not going to serve myself anymore, but I'm going to serve You. God wants to give you His kingdom today. God wants to give you incredible peace that is unspeakable. Joy that there is no language to describe. It's real. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with that today. He wants to give you His kingdom. But you need to make a choice today and say to God, I'm going to serve You with my life. Some people are in the valley of decision. If you want to make that choice today, it's actually a giving of your life to God. You've served yourself long enough and it hasn't worked. If that is you today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I'm not speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. God is calling you to become His child. He wants you to become His child. If you'll choose today, maybe you've been sitting in church, just doing religion your whole life, and as I've spoken today, you've got revelation of that fact. Holy Spirit, I know He's calling people today, to repent, to turn, and serve no longer yourself, but to say, if you are making that choice, if God is calling you today, if God is calling you into His kingdom today, I want you to raise your hand just between you and God. Some people here have done religion your whole life, but God is calling you today. Do not fail to respond to Him, because this is your day. This is the day of salvation. Next week, the offer of the Holy Spirit will not be moving on your heart like today. But if that is you today, if that is you, I want you to, it's just between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to give you more. He's a good God. He wants to fill your life with such blessing, such victory, and such joy. Such joy. But you've got to walk His way completely. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you didn't come to give us just a life. You came to give us life in abundance. You want to fill us with such joy and such peace that even in storms, Father, we are unmovable because we know you are for us. Father, I ask today that you'll remove any Pharisaical aspect of our lives. Father, I ask that you'll show us if we have areas where we believe that we can, we're serving you, but not completely obedient to you. Father, I ask that you show us those attitudes. I ask that you, Lord, in this season as you're searching our hearts, that Holy Spirit, you show us if we're deceived, if we're holding on to things, if we're not completely obedient to you, if we're not in that place where we're fully surrendered to your word. Father, I ask if we've got unforgiveness for someone or bitterness, a root of bitterness has taken hold, that we're kidding ourselves, that we've forgiven, we haven't. Father, I ask that you show us. I ask, Lord, if there are enemies you're calling us to love, that we haven't loved. I ask that you show us those things, Lord, that we will be a people that don't play games with you, Lord, like the Pharisees, but we will be a people, Lord, who love you with our obedience. And I praise you, and I bless you, in the mighty name of Jesus.